From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Kevin Harlan is presented by Metcalf CarStar. If your vehicle gets sacked on the road, take it to Metcalf CarStar, the collision repair experts. They make it convenient and easy to get back on the road. Go to CarStar.com and search Metcalf CarStar. CarStar, relax, they'll take it from here.
He calls the NBA.
Game! Series!
The NFL.
He digs, he turns, he dives! It is a touchdown!
March Madness.
And that is the dagger.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
I'm getting confused. What game are you calling?
I'm calling both games.
How many jobs Kevin got?
Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
Well, it's our Friday gift to you. It's a treat. It's a treasure is what it is. It's a conversation with the great Kevin Harlan from CBS, TNT, Westwood One. We always like to finish strong here on a Friday with Kevin Harlan, the voice of America. Kevin, how are you, my friend?
Well, first time a treasure has been ever used to describe maybe this conversation that we have. But, I hope you enjoy it as much as I do, Sorenzo. I treasure our Friday visit.
That's right. It is an absolute treasure. I don't know about the whole conversation, but your part of it is certainly a treasure. My gravelly voice at the end of 5 days, you know, babbling on, maybe not so much, but getting the golden pipes on our Kevin Harlan talking sports.
Are you tired? I bet at the end of the week, I bet you are exhausted, right? I mean, really, you're going, 4 hours every day? So like, The last couple hours on a Friday have got to be like, holy smokes! I've used a lot of bandwidth in this program.
I at the risk of like setting myself up to be fired or to be told we'll do more then. No, I'm not. The job's not that hard. I wish it was. There are times I do feel a little guilty because, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, all right. So what are we doing tonight? You know, I like my, now I will say this, getting older, my voice, it feels it, you know, especially in this time of year, drier.
Yeah.
We tack on a 6 day doing the Central Bank pregame show every Sunday morning. So it wears down, but now physically I'm ready to go, Kevin. I am ready to bring it right here on a Friday night. It's dark.
You let it rip. I love it, man. Let it rip. Good.
Yeah.
Good way to go at it.
Yeah. It's like, we're
attack,
under the lights.
Attack.
Yeah. Most of the year we sit here with no lights on, and now this time of year, you know, pitch black, it seems like, you know, we're under the lights. It's like a night game. It's like a Monday night game. So, we get excited for it. Listen, should Chiefs fans be excited? I put this out as a poll. Is the AFC over? And by that, I said, my meaning of this is the Chiefs will not relinquish the one seed the rest of the way, that there will be no more jockeying around. They will, with their schedule, which, by the way, amongst the contenders is second easiest behind only Baltimore, at a sub 400 collective win percentage. Baltimore's is amazing because every one of their games is against a team with a losing record, except the 5-4 Bengals at the very end. The Chiefs have a couple of saltier games, but they've got the Texans and the Raiders that really weigh down the overall win percentage. But I asked them, do you think the AFC is over? And most people said no. I was a little bit surprised by that here in Kansas City. Do you think it's over? Do you think that the Chiefs will not let go of this now that the Bills have opened the door and given them that shot?
Well, what are we, like 9 weeks in or 9 weeks to go? I'm like, we're kind of like, in terms of the calendar and the number of weeks, we're kind of right in the middle. And I think you are what you are here at the Thanksgiving slot, which, of course, is next week. And I think the Chiefs feel like they have a very good handle on what they are doing well, what they've got to improve on. What they're going to emphasize. Now it hurts that you're going to lose a couple of receivers here, and that's going to definitely have to change things. But it's going to mean a bigger role, maybe for the running back. Maybe if the tight end's role can get any bigger, it may. Tony, you know, is going to maybe some of the younger guys. It's navigating all of these games that you just talked about, to get to where you want to go. But I think generally we can say that the Chiefs are probably the strongest team. And I don't know, a month ago, if that was really true. I think Buffalo was probably looked at. But what's caught up with Buffalo are injuries. They made a trade. You know, they traded Zach Moss. They sent him to the Indianapolis Colts, and they got Nyheim Hines, who I think they're kind of high on. I think he's maybe better catching out of the backfield, perhaps. And the quarterback's injury, you know, Josh Allen, his arm injury probably is a concern. Their secondary has been kind of beaten up. And just the wear and tear mentally of being the team that everybody has got circled because of the preseason guesses and predictions that you would be the team from the AFC to go to the Super Bowl. Not that people slept on the Chiefs, but they were so gung-ho on Buffalo. And I think the media in particular loves to find that team and look smart by saying, I predict and we think and all this, and usually gets you no place. You got to play them. And that's what Reed is so good at. Andy has always got the team on any given game weekend, you know, I think really prepared. And the McDermott's have them prepared. Miami has kind of thrown a little monkey wrench into this whole thing because of what they've shown that the end of last year. Remember, they were 1-8, 1-7, 1-8. Mm-hmm. And then they went on and won like 9 of the final 10 or 8 of the final 9. And then carried that into the 7-3 start they've got right now. And I don't think anybody saw the Jets doing what they're doing. I don't think anybody thought that the Patriots would not be a part of it, nor the Bills, certainly, because they were predicted. But Miami and the Jets have right now really kind of messed with everybody's compass on how this conference is going to go. That's four teams right now. If the playoffs began tonight, those are four teams. The entire division would be in the playoffs. That's four of your seven slots. The Chiefs are number five, and now you've got the other, you know, the other couple that are up for grabs. So this is going to be still pretty wide open. Whether the Chiefs are one or two, though, Soren, yeah, would you love to have the bye? Absolutely. But the way the teams play on the road right now in a conference that I think has nine teams between five and seven wins, I think it's up for grabs still. And I wouldn't wink at the Chiefs and say you're in that slot, number one slot, but I feel very good about where they are, how they've managed, where they've navigated themselves, and where their position is right now. Now, listen, I think the Chargers are going to give them all they can handle on Sunday night. There's no doubt about that. They may get a couple receivers back, by the way. I read something. The Chargers are getting healthier. And they may become what they thought they would be to begin the season. But all that said, to your original point, I love where the Chiefs are, but I do not think it's turned out the lights in the AFC. I think there's a lot of maneuvering, and I think it's going to be kind of splitting hairs. I think we're going to get down to a lot of some tiebreakers, and we're going to get down to some games that happened in September and October that could affect where these teams place themselves in January. And that's why I just think for the Chiefs, who have not necessarily hit a trough, but all teams do, that's the one thing right now. They're just trying to make sure that if they do, you know, hit a speed bump sometime along the way here, that it's not too jarring. And I have confidence that they'll handle that. But dealing with these two wide receivers out is certainly something you've got to consider now as they go west and take on a Charger team, like I said, that's getting healthier.
It's getting healthier. Isn't that what we're always talking about with the Chargers? Is their health? And you know,
seems like it. Yeah, you're right.
and I've got this theory. It's that everybody picks the Chargers every year in the media because number one, it's boring to keep picking the Chiefs and Andy Reid. And I'm sure you know there were some people that would take a shot at somebody in the AFC East when the Patriots were dominating that division. But there wasn't a team that had a quarterback that really looks the part. Flowing mane, 6'6", rifle arm, big statistics. There's every reason to be like, well, that Charger roster coupled with that quarterback, sign me up. I'm swimming upstream. I'm going to call it. This is the year that they break through, and I'm all about the Chargers. And then when they don't win, we need an excuse for why our prediction was wrong. And what they land on is, well, they're hurt, which every team is hurt. And nobody talks about, you know, two games missed from Frank Clark, four games missed from Willie Gay, suspensions on both of those guys, by the way. Trent McDuffie missing like 5.5 games. Mecole Hardman out last week. Juju Smith-Schuster going down during the game last week. You know, their injuries are going on everywhere. The Chiefs are basically started the year with a backup right tackle. Lucas Niang is supposed to be the starter, and Andrew Wiley has started the year. Then he went down last week, so they were there to their third right tackle. And nobody ever brings that up about the teams that just keep winning. You know, it's just they nitpick on whatever it is. The Chargers, because of all the, you know, the hoopla around them, well, they're so hurt. Well, you know, I mean, are they really, is that something we should talk about? Or the fact that Austin Eckler in his career has missed, you know, six games and two games before, you know, Mike Williams, his career games played. He missed a game. He missed six games his rookie year. Keenan Allen, we know, I'm looking at his career games played, 15, 14, 8, 1. 3 years of 16, then 14, 16, just two this year. Bosa, the entire Bosa family, if you draft a Bosa, you're getting a wildly talented player for sure. But 12, 16, 7, 16, 12, 16, 3, this is, and they took a whole, they take their senior year off at Ohio State. I mean, enough. I'm sick of hearing about the Chargers injuries. Like, everybody's got them, but supposedly, to hear a lot of the pundits, they're the only ones that have to actually deal with it.
I think that because the Chiefs have had relative success keeping people on the field, and you've talked, you know, and illustrated well the players that have missed here and there, but we've seen the Chiefs complete, and you can see the firepower, and you can just see how incredibly good they are when everybody is there. And I think that the reason why people talk about the Chargers the way they do is because we have not seen them whole. They lost Allen in the first half of the opener. And so he's a big part of what that offense does. And I understand your point. And they've lost, I think, a tackle, their left tackle. Yep. So, I mean, they're gone for the season. Right? They're done. It's not like a four-game short IR. It's like their history so for the year. So I think that's what brings people to that conversation you're talking about. And you hear it all the time. Well, if they can just get healthy, because we've not really seen them healthy all season. We can't say that about the Chiefs. Like, they've had games where they've had all their firepower lined up and ready to go, and, man, it is a show. And I can't think if they've had – now, the suspensions aside, and those are self-inflicted, you know, the injuries, I still think – in Niang at the right tackle, which is an excellent point, I still think we have seen what the Chiefs are when they're healthy. And actually, with the Buffalo Bills, they're kind of saying now the same thing. Well, when they get healthy in the secondary, and they may, you know, by, you know, December, you know, they'll be what they were, and they're just right now going through what is a difficult division. That division has become far more difficult for them than this division has for the Chiefs, for instance. Denver has not proven to be, you know, much of the Raiders. I saw them last weekend. They're in complete disarray, which I didn't see that coming. I got to be honest. I thought with Carr and with a veteran like Adams and on the second tour and Max Crosby, like I thought they gave the Chiefs all they could handle on that Monday night game. But I that's been about as big a surprise to me that they have been so bad. And their number one picks over the last couple of years are gone now. They cut them or let them go or what? It's traded them or tried to trade them. You know, but the Chargers, that one team that has not had a game like the Chiefs, except for the first half of the first game, where they've had everything aligned and said, here is what we are. Here was our blueprint. The Chiefs have had a couple times to say that. The Chargers have not. And I think that's why people are saying, okay, you know, let's go back now. Let's rewind and go back to, you know, late August and early September when rosters were set and when they were a whole. That group that they have been, that they could move, they could do something. But you're right about Bosa; he's always injured, right? And so yeah. we're not going to know really what we're seeing in the Chargers, I guess, until they get quote unquote healthy. But we do say it a lot about them, but they never are. And maybe they will Sunday. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the latest, but I'm not sure if they will be completely healthy. But they're trending that way.
Yeah.
And that's what I think gives people that feel, right? I mean, I think that's what they say.
And my point is, don't re-sign Keenan Allen then, right? Stop giving big contracts to guys that have never been healthy. Like, you do it to yourself. I mentioned the story. We had a buddy, we did fantasy NBA back in the day, back in college, and my buddy Dave Michaud, we called him No Show Michaud. Right. Because, you know, so many, like, you're in college for 4 years. Like, you don't miss a Friday night going out. I'm tired. I'm staying home. You know, great guy. But we'd always give him a hard time. No show me show. Every year, 34-year-old Larry Bird, he'd buy, like, we did auctions. 34-year-old Larry Bird, you know, 35-year-old this guy, 36-year-old Kevin McHale, you know, and then like 4 weeks into the season, half his team's hurt. He's like, I'm snake bit. Like, you're not snake bit. Like, you keep buying old hurt guys, right? That's not snake bit. That's stupidity. Like, the Chargers keep handing out contracts to guys that, Jeff Montgomery said it a long time ago. I'll apply it to football. But he said, you know, at some point you are what the back of your baseball card says you are. And it was a great line that will stick with me forever. And I'm like, yeah, that, like, Derwin James is what it says on the back of his card. A guy that missed tons of, can you think of a guy? I mean, the closest, I can come up with quarterbacks. Like, Phil Simms and Matt Stafford got labeled as always hurt early in their career and then got over it and kept going. But generally speaking, the position players that get hurt stay hurt.
I would say that is very true. I love what Jeff said. And that, and we've heard that Parcells said the same thing. You are what your record says you are.
Right.
That's pretty much what you are. And that's what the Chargers are coming in. And I don't think the Chiefs look at it any different. We could have, should have, you know, all the wouldas, The point is that the Chiefs are the one team that continually gets up there and slugs out a win. And in this day and age in the NFL, it's not like the old days where you're going to go in there and win 49-7 and 35-3 and have the it's going to be tough. That's just the way the league is. And one of the reasons why are all the injuries you talked about, because your frontline guys are making most of the money and the backups usually are not all that great. And so you do feel a big injury when a frontline guy goes out, because that's where the cap comes into play, and that's where you've put your money is into the starter, and so you're not going to get as high priced a guy filling in, and that kind of evens the playing field a little bit, and it's worked out because all these teams, I mean, there are very few teams right now that are not in the playoff picture halfway through. Sometimes, like the Raiders, I think are in trouble with their seventh loss, and Green Bay losing, you know, they're in trouble now, sir, clearly. You know, a 10-7 record is going to, I don't know if that's going to get in. It might, but I don't see them going on a run here and getting, you know, all these wins to get up to that number 10, winning six straight to run the table. So all I know is that, you make an excellent point about the injuries. When are they going to get healthy? When are they getting healthy? But you know what? They're not going to get healthy. And as Jeff said, they are what they are. And the numbers say that, and that's kind of, that is true with the Chargers, but it does give fodder for the people that write and call these games to talk about, well, if they can get this guy back, and if Tre'Davious White comes back in the secondary for Buffalo, or if they get Keenan Allen back and Williams is healthy and Bosa is back, you know, yeah, a lot of things have got to happen for that to happen. But the Chiefs, they lose a right tackle or they lose a receiver in this week too. You know, they still find a way. And that's when I get into, all right, that's coaching, right? That's preparing the mindset of your team to not think about a disability, not think about, you know, an area where they're struggling or they're going to be really watching. It's like, plug the guy in, we go, we're a team. There's no one bigger than the other guy next to him. And that's what I think kind of the genius of Reed is, consistency and always finding a way. The good teams always do it. The bad teams are the teams that could have been, should have been, would have been, are always, as you say, pointing to injuries. They're pointing to they've got that crutch. That's what they're gonna hit. And but the Chiefs don't do that, right? They just kind of win. And it may not be beautiful. It may not be like the way we imagined it with the quarterback that's generational, but they win. And so that's what is so great about this team that we follow.
And I think winning teams also have the advantage. Like, if you got an injury, like, well, you could wait for surgery or you could have it now. If you're on a team that's 3-7, you're getting the surgery. If you're on a team that's 7-3, let's fight through and be a part of this winning. I think that phenomenon exists in all sports, and for good reason, right? I'm not questioning it, but you know, like Andrew Wiley went down in the game. He's been a full participant in practice this week. I mean, also Prince Tananga Wanaga. I'm so bad. I should I need to get a better handle on how to pronounce the young man's name. So I turn it into like a dance step or something. Prince Tega Winago did a nice job. He did a nice job filling in. Maybe that motivated Andrew Wiley as well. But you know, I think Wiley's probably not 100%, but he's fighting through, getting ready at practice, and that's a big thing. I actually saw this morning on Get Up. Is Patrick Mahomes' greatness underappreciated? I just love watching the cycle of things. You're the new it thing when you first, you know, hit. Everybody falls over themselves to make greater proclamations about how good you are. And then you've been around for a little bit, and then you race to the new guy. Well, Josh Allen's the new guy. Herbert's the guy. You kind of fall out, and then you kind of come back around, and now here where we are with Mahomes. Now, leading in touchdowns and passing yardage is a good way to get people, you know, back around to talking about him. But now underappreciated. You could ask that question all the time. I actually think he is underappreciated. And I think football coaches would be the first one to tell you why, because of so many things. No doubt he has got Andy Reid, which allows him to just shine as bright as he can possibly shine. You know, I would never take that for granted, but he is just an absolute shining star when it comes to the quarterback position. And I think there is an element of, you know, maybe not right at this moment where people are talking about him being the front runner for the MVP, but just underappreciating. And if he goes in this week, Kevin, and he doesn't have Juju, who hasn't practiced yet this week, and I think most people think he's going to be out, he's not going to have Mecole Hardman, who's been IR'd. Valdez-Scantling is limited. We'll see if he plays. But if he would go in with basically the backup brigade at wide receiver and beat the Chargers, I mean, you're already the consensus top guy, but it would be yet another feather in his cap.
And this is where I get back to coaching, because that's where they lean heavily. Andy and his play calling and Eric and his play calling, they'll lean, heavily on the players they can count on, and they'll accentuate what they've got working for them. And listen, even when they're debilitated with injuries and they don't have a full core of receivers, they still have guys that can even play different. You know, they can spread Kelce out more, for instance, and they can Edwards-Helaire. You know, there are just different ways that he can manufacture. And sometimes this becomes a game where, for one game all season long, somebody steps up and is in the limelight, and somebody has a big statistical game. But back to your original part about Mahomes and he would be the first to tell you, listen, they've given me a Hall of Fame tight end. They had me with, for the beginning of my career, a guy who's on the road to the Hall of Fame as a receiver, a generational player in Hill, who there's nothing like him in the league. Like, he's the only guy like him. But Mahomes, there's nothing like Mahomes either. Not like, no one can do what he's doing. And sometimes that story gets a little old. It's kind of going back to what you said about, well, if the Chargers can fight, or if this team can get healthy. When you do it consistently and you do it every year, I mean, do people talk about Andy Reid as an, I know that Brian Daboll is a big hot shot now. Sean McDermott was kind of last year, and even this year, because the team is picked to go. Everyone's talking about Mike McDaniel down at Miami. I think people love, you know, the next thing, the next new, the next whatever. What's around the corner? Who's the next Mahomes? Who is the next Belichick? Who is the next Andy Reid? But talking about Reid and Belichick and Mahomes gets a little old, because, yeah, they're so consistently good. Every year the same product is produced. They win. They find a way. They are putting up big numbers. It's like anybody in their job. Yeah, we got this bright young hire who's going to come in this particular division of our company, and they're going to do this. But what about the guy that's been there for like 30 years who always produces, man or woman, always he or she is constantly doing the job, and they never get the appreciation. The longevity isn't appreciated. It's not flashy. You know, the consistency isn't something that wows you. But you know, it's there every week. The difference with Mahomes is not only is the consistency there, not only is the every week there, not only is the we can always rely on him there, but he does it with these eye-popping numbers, and that's what makes him different, right? That's what makes him a quarterback that is generational. And we don't get bored with it in Kansas City, because we know what we're seeing. And I think when he does put up these, you know, he'll put up an occasional performance once a month, and everyone will go, why don't we just tell ourselves every year that Mahomes is the MVP? And he probably should be the way he plays. You and I have thought that they've come into the season a little different, chip on the shoulder, especially him, I think he feels like he's gritting his teeth. There's a little bit more grit to him, I think, this year. For whatever reason, whatever the motivating factor is, I think there's a little bit more grit. And maybe it's to talk about Allen. Maybe it's to talk about the Bills. I don't know. But to me, that's what the optics tell me, that he has that. They can bring this up on Get Up or on all these different shows. And because they're looking for material to keep generating the monster that is the NFL. But I'm telling you, I for my money, there's no one better, and there's no one that I'd rather go to war with, but don't forget to couple that comment with what Reed does to put him in a position to succeed. Yep. And that may be the most underreported thing about the Chiefs, just how brilliant they are week to week facing everybody's best punch and producing what they produce. And to have him, Mahomes, so consistent in his performance. And this has been now year after year after year.
Kevin, I always get lost in our conversation, and I got lost in the fact that we got to go. We got to get to some Kansas basketball. We're jetting a little bit early today, so unfortunately no Final Four. I apologize. Always great talking to you, my friend. We will talk again next week.
Thanks, Ren. Always fun. Thank you. Take care.